The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 472. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. Now, my guest for this episode comes recommended by a previous guest, Mr. Timothy J. Cox. He told me that I needed to speak to this individual because they have some cool projects coming up, and he was absolutely 100% correct. So joining me on this episode is Ashley Lawhorn. She is an actress out of Ohio who has a new movie coming out called Airshift, where she plays a disc jockey who is kind of forced to save the radio station. And we talk all about it as it's almost ready to drop. We also talk about a couple of her past projects, including playing an AI robot in a movie called AI Amy, and taking a little bit of a darker turn in a dark comedy called Stoned that involves, well, weed and an unexpected murder. Ashley's done a lot of commercial work as well, so you'll find out what the difference is between shooting a commercial versus shooting a film. And you'll also find out about Ashley's favorite pastime and hobby, which is playing the drums. And that might actually show up in a future project. But anyways, I'm not going to waste much more time talking about Ashley because we had a great conversation a couple of weeks ago, and I can't wait for you to hear it. But before I kick it over to that conversation, I need to thank a great sponsor of the PVD Cast. Of course, I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. They have everything you need for your comic book fandom. They've got single issues, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, back issues, hundreds upon hundreds of them, as a matter of fact. They got a clean store, a friendly staff, a great pull system. Basically, they got you covered for your fandom. So, if you're in the Central Ohio area, you owe it to yourself to stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. But if you're out of the area, you can follow them online. WGComics.com is their web address. And they're pretty active on the Facebook page. Just search for at WG Comics. All right, with that out of the way, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Ashley Lawhorn. Ladies and gentlemen, this evening I am sitting down with Ashley Lawhorn, an actress from the great state of Ohio. And Ashley, how are you doing this evening?
Hey, John, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. You know, a little bit under the weather, but, you know, it's what happens when you have weather that can't make up its own mind.
Oh, it really is. But hey, at least it feels good right now. Hopefully it stays good so that you can, you know, recover and then go spend some time outdoors, get those vitamins, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you are based in Ohio, correct?
Yes. Yep.
And you're originally from Chillicothe?
Yeah. So actually, I'm from even a smaller place called Piketon, and it's still in Ohio. It's basically a village is how big the town is, or small, I should say. And so I moved up to Chillicothe a couple of years ago. And so now I'm just like, yeah, I'm from Chillicothe. And because hardly anyone knows of Piketon, it's such a small little town.
So then how does a girl from a small little town decide to get into acting?
Oh my gosh. dreams, you know, big dreams. I actually had just always wanted to do it. And I remember I took my first acting class when I was in the 9th grade, I think. And it was one of those things where dial-up was still very present. I didn't know how to navigate a computer that well at the time. And my mom had actually signed me up because I'd asked her to. So she took me up to this, you know, acting studio in Columbus, and it just wasn't my fit, right? And so I kind of went back to school. I was like, you know what? I'm going to give a break to this acting thing. Maybe it's not for me. And mind you, it was really just the teacher wasn't the best at that time. So years went by. Finally, I graduated from Shawnee State University with a degree in psychology. And I was like, you know what? I have this dream has still never died. As much as I do and as much as I learn, I still keep wanting to act. So I just enrolled myself in a couple of classes online and in person again in Columbus with a different studio. And it took off. Networking, making friends, you know, being pulled onto different sets. And the real game changer actually happened when I got a business coach as well. She kind of helped me get my goals in order and figure out how do I turn this fun little creative hobby into an actual business for myself. So that's where I'm at now.
That's really interesting because I don't know if I've ever heard that before of having a business coach.
Yeah, I know. I hadn't either until a few years ago. They are out there, and her name is Anastasia Edwards, and she's amazing. I mean, she more so like helps actors with their careers, but she really does a great job of understanding, you know, each client she has, their personality, what they bring to the table, what skill sets they have that set them apart, and kind of helps you like navigate this industry. You know, she's made it night and day easier for me to figure out who to network with, what I need to do, and kind of getting my head out of my ass a little bit, you know.
Well, that's something that I think would be so obvious that somebody, you know, that's in the acting world would have one of those. But I get, is it a kind of a newer thing, or like within the last decade or something that this is, you know, come about, or has it always just been there? We just don't know about it.
See, I really couldn't tell you. I mean, for me, it was one of those things where it was just kind of around, and an actor friend of mine told me that she started working with her. And I was like, wow, that is so interesting. I had like the same thought you did of, my God, I've never heard of this. Like, this is an actual thing that people do. And yeah, I pay her, and basically she coaches me through, you know, how to reach out to casting directors, how do I reach out to other filmmakers, and kind of just gives me that outlet to also network with a lot of her other clients and people like that. So it's been a really big benefit for me. And also, she's kind of like my personal therapist now. The poor lady has to hear about everything I go through anymore. So it's kind of a win-win for me, really.
Well, let's talk about an upcoming project. I believe it's coming out this summer. It's called Airshift. Can you give a little summary of the project without giving away too much?
Yeah, I will try my absolute best. So basically, Airshift is about a radio DJ named Lisa Richmond. Her dad is one of the founders at this old radio station of freeform radio, basically. So you pretty much create your own set list, you have your own show, that kind of thing at this small little radio place. Well, one night during her night shift, she finds out that the radio station is shutting down because there was a uranium leak underground. And so with the station shutting down, Lisa's got 2 days to try to save it. So she tries her best to save this radio station. And amongst her trying to save the station that means the world to her, she also encounters a stranger, heard her on the radio, and ends up actually going to the radio station to meet her, kind of like an obsessive fan, you might say. And once this happens, the whole night just kind of spirals. It is like a night in hell for Lisa because a stranger, there are more unexpected guests, there are creatures that are roaming around. And it, whenever we started filming it, we didn't necessarily anticipate it to be more comedy, like comedy and comedic. But after, you know, some of our first takes, we were like, oh my God, I think this is more like comedy range, like thriller comedy. So that's pretty much Airship in a nutshell without giving you too much insight there.
Who is the director behind this shoot?
Yeah, so his name is Chris. Chris Mays is his last name. I don't know why it's based on Chris's name. He's going to kill me. But Chris Mays is the director of Airship. Very, very great guy. Him and Corey Krinsky, Corey's the producer on it, and just two like brilliantly creative guys that really want to push the limits and love collaborating with other actors. And so working with those guys has been awesome, specifically Chris, because he's been on set and things like that. But he has another movie he actually just did, I believe a year ago, called Hemisphere, and it's on Amazon right now, and it's kind of like a space pioneer type movie, and it's pretty good. I like it.
So did you have to do a lot of research to learn, you know, all the ins and outs that a DJ would have to know for the film?
I did actually. So it just so happened that Chris knew a radio DJ, and I actually set up a meeting with her and kind of just went over, like, you know, what does she do? What is her show like? What's the flow? You know, whenever she gets there from the time she leaves, what is a typical day like for her? And, you know, I kind of just really dug in and used that psychology degree I had and kind of grilled her a little bit, trying to figure out, like, you know, what mindset I needed to be in. But Chris also did an amazing job with the set deck. He actually built this Airship studio in his basement, and it had the glass that, like, the glass pane that goes out into the other room. It had like two little glass windows where you could see in. It had the full like radio DJ mixer, sound mixer, tons of little mics, little stereo systems, and record players. So it was wild. He had it all set up, and I think we rehearsed maybe 2 days prior to shooting. So I was doing my research with Trisha, the other radio DJ, real life, and then kind of rehearsed a couple days there and got the motion down.
What's really odd about that fact is that I was going to compliment about, I saw through your social media that there was a scene where there's a receptionist desk and they have like the radio call number like above her. And I was like, I was going to ask if somebody, you know, fabricated that, because I was pretty certain that wasn't a real radio station, but I was going to say that's a nice touch.
It was. No, it really was. Chris, he went into great detail, and just to know that he built the whole set was just insane to me, because it was so sturdy. It was like, it was really cool. It was like playing pretend in this pretend area. And I don't know, it just elevated the whole feel to the movie, I feel like.
How long was the shoot? You mentioned you did a couple of days of rehearsal. So what was the schedule like?
Yeah. So actually we are still in production for it. We are almost to post-production after the 29th and the 30th, I believe, then we'll be in post-production. But it took that first week, we filmed in December, and I would say about 5 days is when we filmed in December. And then in January, I went back for maybe 3 or 4 days to film. And then this will be at the end of March, my last 2 days to wrap up the whole film. And then we'll be on to post-production until summer.
All right. Well, it sounds like Airship is just chugging right along there, so to speak.
Yeah, it really is, man. It is. It's been a blast, and it's going to be really sad to kind of close that chapter. But I'm really excited for people to see it. I think it's going to take them on a roller coaster ride that they weren't really ready for and probably didn't even ask for. But we're going to give it. So I hope they're ready.
Well, let's talk about another project, which I believe, if I did my research correct, it was a 48-hour film festival entry. It was called AI Amy.
Yeah, AI Amy.
So first of all, the question is, do you trust AI? And number two, what are your thoughts on using AI in filmmaking?
So I just had this conversation the other day, which is so funny, with a couple of other actor friends. So with AI, I think that it's a double-edged sword. I think that there can be really, really great things that we can do with AI to utilize it to our benefit, you know, with medical things, with scientific research, or, you know, even if you're just trying to, you can't find the words, but you know what you're feeling or things like that. Yeah, go ahead and type it into AI, help yourself, you know, learn and educate. But I think, you know, if people utilize it too often and frequently, it can kind of become a crutch. And one of those things that, you know, it's a cheat sheet. Everybody, you get the same results out of it. You know, everybody starts getting the same results, the same things coming back, because they're pretty much asking it to tell them similar things at that point. And I feel like it can be a good tool when used correctly. It's like, come with great power comes great responsibility, you know. That's how I feel with AI.
Okay, so do you want to give a quick little summary of what that project was, AI Amy?
Yeah, absolutely. So AI Amy was written by Cyrus Richardson, one of my good friends. I worked with him now on a couple of little short projects, and he just does like such a great job with, you know, pioneering Columbus film and actors, and really trying to make something special with each film he does. And we kind of work with a similar team each year for winter film, for winter film and for the 48 now. But basically, AI Amy was just this concept. I think he came up with because everyone's so reliant on AI anymore, or it's been such a big topic, you know, amongst industry pros and everyone. Basically, we just wanted to like really stretch AI and say, you know, what would happen if someone did create this working robot, kind of like iRobot or any of those, you know? So what we did was, my character Amy is created by another character in our story, and she pretty much is smiling and nice the whole film, but it's eerie. You don't know whether she's good or if she's bad. And you see her being helpful, but sometimes she's overly helpful. And the dad in the story, he owns this bar. The daughter creates me to help the dad run the bar because they're losing money. Well, money starts to show up missing. The dad's very leery of me, AI Amy, and he doesn't trust me with, you know, pretty good reasoning, if you ask me. It's a random robot that's, you never know what they're going to do. And so basically the story just kind of keeps getting creepier and creepier, and things keep happening to where you're kind of left questioning at the end, is AI Amy good or is AI Amy bad? And so it leaves you right back in that like existential thing of, is AI good or bad? You know, it was kind of full circle. It was pretty cool.
Well, you just dropped the Spider-Man reference here. So I'm going to ask you about this. I was going to hold off and ask this last, but I got to ask it now.
Yeah.
You got an opportunity to work on a fan film called Batman: The Darkest Nights.
Yes, I did.
How was that experience? And are you a comic book or superhero fan?
I am a superhero fan. And actually, it was a great experience working with my really good friend, Jake Truitt, and a lot of other really talented actors throughout Ohio. It was my first audiobook film type project. And with that, I got to play Poison Ivy, which was so freaking cool. So not only was it my first audiobook slash, you know, film, it was also my first time playing Poison Ivy and really like diving into that sultry, just cool badassery that is Poison Ivy, because she's just this seductress, you know, and I've not had the opportunity to play somebody like that in a film. So it was kind of cool to step into her persona and feel that planted and that energy and stuff. So it was kind of cool.
Is that out on the web somewhere where folks can check it out if they're interested? Do you happen to know?
I don't think it's out yet. I think he was still in post-production, but I will definitely let you know. The next time
cool.
I'm an update. Yep, I'm reaching out to you.
All right, cool, because I definitely wanted to check that out, and I couldn't find it, but I thought maybe it was, you know, at some website that I was not aware of. So,
are you a superhero fan?
I am. I'm a big comic book nerd.
Oh, awesome. Who's your favorite one?
I enjoy the Punisher. I've liked Deadpool since Deadpool first came out. So, but I've always liked Deadpool. I like, there's a couple of really oddball comics from Vertigo that I dig, like the Watchmen. Fantastic. Like, I love Watchmen.
Yeah. Okay. I see.
Yeah. And there's another one, Transmetropolitan, that was really good. Preacher, The Boys. All of those are favorites of mine. How about you?
No, I am. I haven't been as into superheroes as I used to be when I was younger, but I was always a Spider-Man fan, and I have actually failed to see the newest Spider-Man movies, so I'm kind of falling behind there. I need to get back on it.
Oh, yeah. Those animated ones are fantastic.
See, I need to see them. I haven't seen those either. Yeah.
Oh, those are great. I like those, and so what was the last live-action one? That was the one...
It was, Tom
Far From Home?
I think, yeah, maybe. See, that's the thing. I haven't seen any of the Tom Holland ones. I stopped with the one before. What was his name? Crap.
Tobey Maguire, but was Andrew Garfield.
Yeah, Andrew Garfield. Yep, that was the last one. And you know what it was? I think Gwen's death really, broke me. I'm pretty sure that broke me, and because after that I didn't watch Spider-Man for the longest time. I couldn't, man. I was heartbroken.
Well, there you go. There's the power of film. If you can move somebody to the point where they're sad by what they've seen on the screen, then I think you've done your job as a filmmaker.
Right? No, for sure. You've done it. You've affected me. Like, I don't want to watch anymore. Thank you for affecting me like that.
All right, well, let's get back to talking about a couple other projects here. One in which I'm curious about how you came up with some inspiration for the role, and that is a dark comedy called Stoned.
Ah, yeah, Stoned. It was really fun. So Joe Cox is great with just storytelling in general. He comes up with some of the kookiest, craziest stories, and just so effortlessly brings them to life. I don't know how he does it, and I don't know, what sparks these ideas. But for Stoned, what's hilarious is that Joe actually had written the lead part for me, and with my voice and tone and all that stuff in mind. And he had basically seen me at a winter film competition a couple years ago, and I was playing kind of this, sarcastic, just regular plain Jane girl, having fun. And he was basically thinking, I want to make this girl twisted and really, really messed up in the head. So we're going to have her play a psychopath, drug addict, and just see what happens. Let's see what happens. So he wrote this role for me. Basically, Jenny, my character, is so unhinged. Have you seen Stoned at all, or, just read about it?
I just briefly read a little bit on social media.
Okay, yeah. So basically, Jenny and Irma are two best friends, and they're big potheads. They just, enjoy life. But Jenny is a little more unhinged than Irma is. Irma is your typical laid-back stoner. She just enjoys life, and it's the simple things, rock and roll, wrestling, all that stuff. And Jenny is very high-strung, not your typical stoner. She smokes weed, and I think if she didn't, she would have probably murdered somebody way long ago, because the weed was probably keeping her in check. But basically, in this story, Jenny has a coworker who just gets on her absolute nerves, and he's a really good guy. He's not a bad guy at all, but Jenny just really hates him. He's nice to a fault, basically. And so Jenny and Irma pretty much accidentally kill this guy, or so they think. And they end up just getting high throughout the whole film. They think they're high the whole time. They're not. And so they go on this journey of becoming, drug dealing, gun wielding badasses while navigating girlhood at the same time, and just having each other's backs. And it really gave me, when I read the script, kind of a similar vibe to Broad City. I don't know if you've ever seen that with Abby and Alana, but it's just such a good show, and the girl buddy comedies just speak to my heart. So
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Ashley for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They're your one-stop shop for all your comic book related needs. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collectibles, toys, comic book supplies, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, you name it, they got it. So you need to stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can follow them online. WGComics.com is their web address. And they're pretty active on the Facebook page. Just search for @WGComics. So you mentioned real quickly that you read the script and you liked it and you were on board with it. So how do you select projects that when you get a script, like, is there a certain thing you're looking for, or is it just by case by case basis?
No, it's really case by case basis. You know, I'm always looking to work with new filmmakers and connect with new people in the industry for sure, just to even see if we connect, see what magic we can create. But it definitely depends on the writing. Is this a good fit for me? In my career, would playing this character be a good fit to help me progress? Does it fit my type? Or, you know, I always try to ask questions now regarding what kind of camera are you using? Do you have an audio person? Is there going to be lighting? Do you have, you know, wardrobe? Do you have makeup? Like, all of that stuff has been kind of coming into play lately with more and more decisions that I have with scripts. But whenever I see a really, really good script or something that I'm like, I just have to play this character. Like, I will do whatever it takes to play this character. I don't care. So it really is case by case. I mean, it could be amazing, blown out of the water writing and maybe, you know, really, really low budget, but I want to play that character. Like, that is a very interesting character. So I think that could sway me for sure.
Staying on the topic of selecting scripts, mm-hmm. Is there any genre that you would say, no, that's not my cup of tea? Or again, is it kind of based on a, you know, each individual script gets its own kind of look at, if you will?
I'd say each individual script kind of gets its look at. If I see something that is just in my mind, I already know a budget and I already know who's doing the film. If it seems like something that's not obtainable or that, you know, I recognize in the script that there's going to be a lot of things they're going to have to do in order to make this come to life, and I'm not quite sure that they have that the resource and things, I might not go with that script, you know. But really, no genres is that off limits with me. You know, I love horror movies. I'm a very spiritual person as well. So I'm one of those people that, like, if I were to do a faith-based film, I would do that. You know, I would do a horror movie. I would do a drama, a love story. Comedy would be specifically what I would love to do, though. Comedy and action, that would be right up my alley. But yeah, man, nothing is really off limits unless it's, you know, also trying to get somebody naked or something on film for, like, no money. Not happen, but yeah, those are kind of my limits.
Here's a genre that I think that many of my listeners probably are curious about, that you've done quite a bit of commercial work for Petland, yeah. Pepsi, et cetera. I'm assuming that you have a different preparation for those shoots than you do, say, a movie. Am I correct on that thinking?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's just because, you know, commercials are so improvised a lot of the time that it's basically a lot of physical acting. I mean, sometimes it's not physical acting, and, you know, you have to prep the same way you would if there's a big script in the commercial that you have to deliver. Then you would kind of prep the way that you would with other things. But I would say the difference is, that's really stuck out to me, is like, when you're reading a script for a commercial, you want to focus on exactly who you're talking to. So, like, the audience isn't just a general audience, because that doesn't really help you. It's kind of like, am I talking to my best friend? Is this something that I am trying to convince my best friend that they need this product? This is for them. So it's like, then you would kind of gear your tone when you're reading that script to your best friend or, you know, a family member or something like that. And it kind of helps you seem more grounded, relatable, smiley, all that stuff. And I don't know, man. I just say there's a lot less prep with commercial work. It's, you know, you get booked off of your look most of the time, or a certain skill set you have. And when that happens, you just go and they tell you what to do on set. It's very, very fast paced. Just go, go, go and do what you're told type stuff. And on like regular movie sets, it's not necessarily like that. I mean, you're doing prep work. You're doing most of the time rehearsals with your people. You don't get that on commercials. You just go in and you do your job. And then for features, you also get table reads. You don't get those, you know, with commercials and stuff. So there are a couple differences, but commercials can be really, really fun. It pays the bills, and it's not always ideal when people want to keep leveling up in their career in like a different direction, but they're really fun, and that you get to be silly and stupid and just enjoy yourself, you know?
Well, I got a couple of questions here that are going to kind of deviate a little bit from what we've been talking about, because while doing some research, I see that you love to play the drums.
Yes, I do.
How long have you been doing that?
Yeah, so I've been playing now for, God, I think over 17 years, I'd say.
Do you have a favorite song that you like to play?
No favorite songs, but I'm definitely a early 2000s punk rock kind of girl. I love playing any type of rock song, but specifically, I like the punk rock in the early 2000s. Those are just so fun and fast paced, and they make me feel like a little rebellious, you know? So I like that. I like it when they make me feel that way.
Would it be a stretch for me to say that secretly you hope to get a role where the person has to play drums?
No, that would be right on the nose, actually. And I've been really fortunate. I actually just got the opportunity not too long ago for a project I worked on. And I can't really mention it right now just because it'll spill the beans. But I did get to do it finally after so long of waiting. And that was a blast. And now I've got two more projects coming up where I'll be the lead in both, and I will be playing the drums as a drummer in both. So that'll be, yeah, people are seeing it, and they want the female drummer. So I'm like, I'm right here, guys. Let's do it, you know? Put me in, coach.
Since obviously film is a huge part of your life, I imagine that you have some favorite movies. Can I put you on the spot and ask you to pick, say, three?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So I told you I love comedy. So my comedy is dumb comedies. So Step Brothers is my absolute favorite movie. I also really love Bridesmaids. That's another favorite of mine. And man, then I would have to go The Grinch, actually. How the Grinch Stole Christmas with Jim Carrey. Those are my favorites. And they're not necessarily horror movies, because I really do love horror movies too, but yeah, those are probably my top three.
Okay. I got to be honest. I didn't anticipate How the Grinch Stole Christmas. I really did not. I was like, I'm not judging anybody's picks. I'm not, but I was just like, that's a weird one. But okay, right. Cool.
You know, I always like to keep people guessing, right? Because like, there's many layers to me, and that is one of those layers.
A couple more quick questions, Ashley, and then we'll start wrapping things up. Who are your inspirations?
Oh man, a big inspiration of mine would be Melissa McCarthy and Sandra Bullock. I love both of those women. I love them, you know, outside of acting as well. They just seem like, in interactions and interviews I've seen them in, just like genuinely great people, but also women that are pioneering in their field. You know, I look up to Melissa McCarthy because she's one of those people that doesn't give a shit about what people think about her. You know, like, she is okay with being silly, goofy, you know, ugly. Like, she doesn't care in times of like comedy to just let herself go there and be human and raw. And I really appreciate that. And I think that that's an amazing representation for women, because so many times we're held to the standard of, you know, the guy can be the goofball, but the girl can't be the goofball, or she has to be the prettiest, or all this stuff. And I think people like Melissa McCarthy that kind of break down those barriers are amazing and so needed, because that's not all what women are in film. We're all of those things. We're every emotion, every body type, size, facial feature, all of it. And with Sandra Bullock, I love her because of her resilience and poise. I mean, she just kills it in her roles. And Bird Box was probably now my newest favorite role of hers. That and Miss Congeniality, just, oh, in the books for in history for me. I love that woman. I love Sandra Bullock.
If you could give advice to anybody that says, Ashley, I want to get involved in this world of filmmaking, what piece of advice would you give them?
I would just tell them to do it. I would tell them to don't even think, just jump in head first and go to that improv class, or you know, reach out to somebody that you're friends with and say, that maybe is an actor or a filmmaker, and say, hey, how do I get into this? And genuinely just reach out and ask the question. And I'm sure that that person can at least give you a couple of options for acting classes to get into, because really that's the, in my opinion, the best first place to start is acting classes. Because once you start to go to those, you start to make connections with people that are, you know, they could be at the same level, they could be a little bit more, and they could be a little less, but you start to really connect with people and start to feel more like a community. And I think that that's huge, to feel supported and to feel, especially in this industry and in this journey, you need to feel that support. So I would say go to classes and just look up, you know, price friendly for you type classes would be my advice.
So, Ashley, do you have any social media that you would like to let the folks know about so they can keep tabs on you? And maybe even if you have a website or you have some projects that you'd like to hype, let's let the folks know all about that.
Yeah, so you can follow me on my social media, Ashley_Page_Lawhorn on Instagram, Ashley Lawhorn on Facebook, and then ashleylawhorn.com is my website if you ever want to go to that and check out new projects I'm in, what's happening with me, different commercials I'm in. I try to update that as frequently as possible. So anything and everything Ashley is on that website as well. Yeah, and I always encourage people, if you do have questions about acting or, you know, this filmmaking journey, I don't mind at all, you know, helping out or giving some advice. So I'm only a message away, and yeah, just trying to be as helpful as I can be, you know.
Excellent. Well, Ashley, thank you so very much for sitting down this evening and chatting with me. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely, John. Thank you for having me. This has been really fun.
Excellent. Well, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, my conversation with Ashley Lawhorn, talking about all of her great film projects from the past and current. And definitely check out Ashley online. Keep tabs on what she's doing, because she's got a lot of cool projects in the works. And with that, I'm going to tell you where you can get in touch with me if you have a question about this episode or any episode for that matter. First off, you can find me on Twitter. That's right, I'm still on Twitter. My personal handle over there is at PVDMVP. You can drop me a line over on the Facebook, Instagram, and Threads accounts. Just look for at PVDcast. And if you want, you can even email me. JohnOrlando@PVDcast.com is the email address. Maybe you want to let some folks know about where they can hear this fabulous show. Well, there's a couple different avenues for that. First off, PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly, and probably the best place to get all of the newest episodes. Of course, the PVDcast is also available through all those major podcasting outlets. All you have to do is go to your favorite outlet or app, go to the search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And while we're talking about this, I need to ask you for a favor. I need you, if you are listening through one of your favorite podcasting apps or outlets, I need you to rate and review. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm, and I really, really would appreciate it. All you have to do is give me however many stars you think I deserve and something quick, you know, just a quick blurb about how you like the show or whatnot. And that's, again, super important to me and super important to all these podcasting companies as well, so that they know that you are listening to my show. And you know what? While we're at it, you can also, of course, subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVDcast. There's one final way that you can get all the goodness of the PVDcast, and that's through the Facebook page because on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I do a live broadcast of the week's episode. So there you go. You can get this podcast through pvdcast.com, through your favorite podcasting outlet or app, and of course, Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time through the Facebook page at PVDcast. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you one more time for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2025.